Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio, here's your host, Alex Stroth.
8-3, Brewers victorious over the San Francisco Giants at American Family Field tonight. What a night for the businessman, Kyle Harrison. 12 strikeouts in 5 innings, 2/3 of work. Unreal by him. We will get into all things Kyle Harrison, all things Brewers victory with you over the course of the next hour here on Brewers Extra Innings. Alex Stroth with you from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in for Dom Catronio, who is on assignment tonight. He will rejoin you tomorrow. But joining me, as always, boy, am I excited to talk to the pride of Kewaunee tonight, man. Wow. Kyle Harrison, as Jerry Augustine joins us on Brewers Extra Inning. I'm not even going to ask you a question, Jerry. I am just going to make a statement.
Okay.
Kyle Harrison.
It's unbelievable. You see a young man go out there and dominate the way he has dominated. And, you know, the one thing that I really enjoy when you're watching him pitch, and, you know, we can talk about 1-2 punches in the game of baseball, and you got Miz and now Kyle Harrison on the same team. That's probably one of the best 1-2 punches in all of baseball. But just about the way he goes about his job. He's a strike thrower. He throws the ball over the plate. And when you watch him and you look at the styles of pitching that both the Miz and Kyle Harrison are, there's two styles of pitching. There's what they call tall and fall, guys who throw the ball over the top and pitch downward planes to the plate. Then there's guys who they call kind of a duck and drive guys, but the ball shoots out of their hand and explodes to the plate. Both of these guys are more of the duck and drive where the ball just comes out of their hand and explodes. And when you're talking about Kyle, the Miz, definitely something very super special. But Kyle Harrison, what he has been able to do, 7-1 tonight, 12 punch outs in 5 2/3 innings, had 10 punch outs over 4, just commanding the strike zone and throwing strikes. It's just so much fun to watch a young man feeling confident and dominant and can throw the ball where he wants to.
He had 4 strikeouts through 2 innings, but tell me if I'm wrong on this, Augie, because it seemed like, especially the fastball through the first 2 innings, didn't seem like he had total control. And then he did come the 3rd inning, striking out the side. And then he did in the 4th inning, striking out the side in each of those innings. Seems like he really got the fastball under control after the 2nd inning, but the slurve was effective all night.
Well, I think sometimes when you pitch in a game, every time you go in a ball game, sometimes different pitches are going to react differently. You're going to either have good command or not good command. I think tonight when you talk about it, Alex, I think his slurve brought his fastball into control. Yeah, early in the game, he just didn't have that great command. Still throwing the ball in the strike zone, up and down like he has to. But when he got a command of that slurve and was able to command that slurve, bringing it on the outside part of plate, inside part of plate, keeping it down in the zone. I tell you what, I think he got command of that pitch, and then all of a sudden everything fell into place. And a lot of times with a pitcher, that's sometimes what happens. It's not always the number one pitch. It's not always your number one pitch fastball that dominates a time when you go into a game. Sometimes you react from different things, and today was that secondary pitch, that serve that he got in the first 2 innings, was able to command it, was able to get some swings and misses. And then I'll tell you what, like you said, that 3rd inning, that fastball became quite evident that he was able to command it not only up in the zone, down in the zone, and then use effectively that serve. And he was dominant the whole game long.
Alex Stroth, Jerry Augustine with you. It's Brewers Extra Innings after the Brewers 8-3 victory over the San Francisco Giants on this Tuesday night. Questions, comments, concerns, you can get us on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. If you have questions, comments, any of the in-betweens for Jerry Augustine, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 is your way in on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. You mentioned, talk about 1-2 punches in the MLB. Statistically, it's hard to make an argument against anything but Jacob Mizorewski and Kyle Harrison, Augie. But I will just say this, for two guys that are each 24 years old, this is the most electric, I would say, emergence that we've ever seen simultaneously in Brewers history. I mean, you can think about like Woody and Burns a couple of years ago. Obviously, those two were absolutely awesome for the crew for so many years alongside one another. But two guys that are 24 that are absolutely breaking out consistently this still pretty early in the season, Jerry. I just don't know that we've ever seen anything quite like it in Milwaukee.
I agree. You know, we all knew what Miz was coming into the season. It was kind of a thing. Came saying that what was he going to do from last year? And we've talked about it so many times with the Miz. I thought last year when he got the pitch in the playoffs at the end of the season really helped him understand what he needed to do to take that next step in pitching. And I thought he just did a great job. He came in, did the things he had to do in the offseason, and has come in and dominated. Probably since the beginning of the season, like you had to. But Kyle Harris was a little bit different. Came to Milwaukee, didn't quite understand. So you know what he had to do? He had to go with Chris Hook and Henderson. He had to make a little bit of adjustment. And I think one of the adjustments that he made, and they talked about it tonight, when you're standing on the mound, and usually left-handers stand on the left side of the rubber, and they have that angle that they have to the plate, and the angle is kind of a – can lock yourself out. If you don't step directly at the plate, you can lock your delivery out where it's sometimes difficult to command both sides of the plate. What they did with Kyle Harrison, they moved him to the right side. And by moving him to the right side of the rubber, when he delivers the ball to the plate, he opens up right directly to the plate. He's got the whole vision of both the inside and the outside part of the plate that he can dominate because he's driving directly to the plate. So I think that the emergence with Kyle Harrison of moving him over to the right side, allowing him to drive right to the plate, being able to command the fastball up and down and that serve down in the zone really came into fruition because his delivery allowed him to go directly at the plate and release the ball through the plate and really command the strike zone. And I think it's made a world of difference. I think he's even commented on it. What a big thing for him since he's come over is that move over to open himself up to the plate. And it's really turned out to be something pretty special because you pitch like he has with tonight. You look at 23 2/3 scoreless innings, consecutive innings until Adames hits home run. But 12 punchouts and 5 2/3 innings in a dominant performance against a pretty good lineup was pretty special.
It is pretty special. And everything he's done this season, Kyle Harrison, the businessman, I call him, Jerry. It has just been so special. I promise to be overwhelmingly positive during our time together, Jerry. But I do have to ask one question that may be, leaning negative. Aaron Ashby, an inning and a third. 3 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 1 strikeout. Obner Uribe, 1 inning, 3 hits, 1 run. And, of course, it was earned. Any concern about the back end of that bullpen? I don't think we should be worried about Ashby, but Uribe's been up and down, obviously still battling the suspension. What do you make of his performance so far this season?
Well, I think anytime you pitch out of bullpen, you're going to have sometimes you have a little bit up and down. Sometimes I think when you see Aaron pitching the ball, I think sometimes it looks like he overthrows his fastball a little bit and he flies open and the ball comes out of his hand and he isn't able to command the strike zone like he usually does. And then it's the same thing goes with his breaking ball. Abner Uribe is the same identical way. He comes when he can command the breaking ball. When he has that good breaking ball and he's really finishing it off real well, his fastball naturally becomes better because he commands it so well. I think some of the times he gets out there, he overthrows a little bit. And that means he's trying to be too good and too fine with some pitches. But with Abner Uribe, and again, even with Aaron Ashby, their breaking ball, their secondary pitches are so important to them that when they get those pitches over the plate, just like McGill, when they get those pitches over the plate, they can dominate. And when they're not consistent with them, it's sometimes they got to find themselves a little bit. But both of these two guys are so good at making the adjustments that they have to. And I don't see any problem with it. I think they could step out tomorrow and just be just perfect. It's just about making those good adjustments when you're struggling a little bit with your delivery. And both of these guys at times will struggle with the delivery just like anybody does in the game of baseball.
Your questions, your comments for Jerry Augustine on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. We will get to you, and we will continue to react to the Brewers' second win on the second day of June. The Brewers undefeated in June, 2-0 here on June 2nd with an 8-3 win over the Giants at AmFam Field tonight. Alex Strofin for Dom Catronio tonight, who is back with you tomorrow, and we are back with you right after this on Brewers Extra Innings. Brewers win 8-3 over the San Francisco Giants tonight, game 2 of 4 in this weekday series. Alex Struff in for Dom Catronio here on Brewers Extra Innings alongside the great Jerry Augustine. How about this for a stat, Augie? Kyle Harrison's 1.57 ERA is the second lowest in a pitcher's first 11 starts with the Brewers, behind only, yeah, you guessed it, 2008 CC Sabathia at a 1.43. I don't know how you can't think at this point on June 2nd, Jerry, that Kyle Harrison's an all-star.
Oh, there's no question. You see the way he's throwing the ball. He's just so dominant. And, you know, we talk about the Miz so much, and it's a holiday when the Miz pitches. I think we're going to have a second holiday when Kyle Harrison pitches. But, you know, his command of the strike zone has been so good. We came to this ball club saying that he was a strike thrower, but they had to make some adjustments, and he's made those adjustments, and he's done such a good job. He's kind of a pitcher that the ball, when you it's hard to pick up, because he's not a kind of pitcher that throws way over the top. He kind of hides the ball at medium three quarters, and he's very, very difficult to pick up. But his ball explodes. He's got that little extra finish on it. He pitches high up with his fastball. He can pitch down with his fastball, in and out with the fastball. And he's got that good serve that he throws down his zone. I think a big important part, Alex, of Kyle Harrison is the ability to throw that breaking ball on a consistent basis down in the zone. It just makes that fastball just blossom and explode on hitters. And I think that's really been a big part of his success.
I think you're totally right. And as we talked about before, it just seems like every pitch is setting up the next one. And the fastball just got more comfortable throughout the game as he pitches really well. You mentioned it, 5 2/3 for Kyle Harrison in his 7th win of the season tonight. Allowed 4 hits, struck out 12, and only that one earned run, which, by the way, ended 23 2/3 innings scoreless in a row for Kyle Harrison. Quite impressive for him. And Jerry's buying it. I'm buying it. That's buying or selling here on Brewers Extra Innings. Kyle Harrison, an all-star in 2026. Buying or selling on Brewers Extra Innings, brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. Got to see Tony last week. Great guy. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams here in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. That's WendorfTeam.kw.com. Wendorf, WENDORF. team.kw.com. I just 23 2/3 scoreless in a row is unheard of, especially for a guy who was viewed as a failed experiment. Pitched so well against his former team tonight, obviously didn't work in Boston, but it's just another example of just how good this Brewers front office and the coaching staff is. They bring in a guy who's viewed as a failed experiment other places, only 24 years old. They say, wait a minute, we actually got something in him, and he works with Coach Hook, and they just put it together. I was just sitting back and watching this game tonight, Jerry, and I go, how do they keep doing this? They keep bringing in guys that don't blossom, is the word you use. They'll steal your word. Elsewhere, they bring them into Milwaukee, and all of a sudden, they evolve into what we're talking about should be an all-star. I just don't get it.
Well, you know, you got to look at why the organization really has gone and developed itself into a pitching organization. And I think that starts a lot with Chris Hook, who's been around the organization for a long time. I think Chris Hook is the kind of guy that just not only develops a relationship with the person, with that pitcher as a pitcher, he develops a relationship with that person as a person. And then you bring in Jim Henderson. I think when you talk about Jim Henderson, he's a clinician where he talks about pitching to certain locations, being able to have a good style of pitching, whatever you want to do and whatever style you want to be, we're going to take that style and we're going to make it better. But yeah, those two guys do such a great job with this pitching staff. There's no doubt that the reason why they're successful because the way those two guys work with a pitching staff. But, you know, Alex, there was and I don't know if you saw it tonight, there was a moment where I call it a manager's moment. There's sometimes when a manager goes and he makes a move or he does a gesture that is really, when you watch it, you kind of say, oh, that's pretty cool. But it means a lot more than that. When Kyle Harrison was done, taken out of the game after the sixth inning, and the inning was over, you watched Murph take a stroll down the line, and went over to Kyle Harrison, and he just patted him on the shoulder. And I know what he said. He said, that was outstanding, young man. I'm really proud of you. That is a manager's moment where that pitcher or that player, when you have that said to you, just means the world. And I think when you look at this organization and the way it's been handled, right there was a manager's moment, as I call a manager's moment, that is what is always needed in the game of baseball. What a great move for Murph. That was my highlight of the game tonight when I saw that, as being a former coach at UWM. I love that. It's a way of consent for a pitcher, and I thought that was really special.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And look, I know he's won back-to-back NL Manager of the Year awards, Jerry, but I still don't know if Pat Murphy gets enough credit. I still don't know if he gets enough credit. I think we give him enough credit, obviously, on these programs and locally, but nationally, I still don't know if he gets enough credit. What he has been able to do is, I just use the term unheard of. I'm going to use it again. I don't know that there's another manager in baseball that is as much of a connector and elevator of his talent like Pat Murphy. I still don't know if he gets enough credit.
Alex, a couple years ago, this is when Craig Council was still here, I was asked to do the sideline reporting down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And when you do the sideline reporting down in Arizona, you sit right alongside the bench. And I was excited because I love being right by the field and watching the game. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden Murph looks over and he sees me and he goes, Augie, what are you doing here? I said, well, they got me doing the sideline. For three games, I had the opportunity to sit next to Murph, and we talked more baseball in three games than I've ever talked baseball during the game in my whole lifetime. And I remember one time Brian and BA and Rock wanted me to start an inning, and I said, they called down and say, Augie, take us in at the start of the next inning. I said, what do you want me to do? I was talking to Murph. I was paying attention to the game. And he's just a baseball guy that loves the game. He knows so much about the game, and he's fun to be around the game because he does know so much.
Pat Murphy and Jerry Augustine share this in common. They are both three-time Horizon League Baseball Coaches of the Year. You both won that award three times.
Yeah, it was great honor, great honor. Great team, UWM, just coming off the great year that they had. But you know, Murph, and I don't know if a lot of people know it, he's the youngest manager in NC2A Division I history to get to 500 wins. That's pretty special. So you can tell he was pretty successful. Not only has he been successful here, but he was very successful on the college level.
He's only 67. He's still got plenty of time to go.
Yes, he does.
Over halfway, by the way, to 500 wins as a MLB manager, so he should hit that in no time. Jerry Augustine, Alex Strofe with you. We got to talk a little bit about the offense because what we saw tonight was Brewers baseball at its finest. We'll dive into that coming up next. It's Brewers Extra Innings on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings continues. Brewers now 37-21 on the season after the 8-3 victory over the San Francisco Giants here on a Tuesday evening. Alex Strofe in for Dom Catroni tonight alongside the legendary Jerry Augustine. Talked a lot about pitching tonight. Let's talk a little bit about offense, Augie. Jake Bowers, bottom of the first inning, crushes a three-run shot, his 10th home run of the season. I know the Brewers are full of fun stories. He's no exception. How about Jake Bowers with his 10th home run of the season tonight to give the Brewers that 3-0 lead real early in this one?
I think if there's one special player that you pick out that you look into the season, you say, well, who's going to be that one guy that's going to step up and do something extraordinary or very, very special? We all know what Jake Bowers is. He's the kind of guy that prior to this year was a guy that could come off the bench, give you some good at-bats, play first base, can hit with power, can play versatile, play all field and infield. But I'll tell you what, this year he has been swinging the bat so well. You look at what he's doing. He's hitting .275 now with 10 home runs. You know, he's just come up with so many big hits and big parts of games. And tonight we had the leadoff first inning home run. He's been very, very special for this ball club.
He certainly has. And so has Bryce Tarang, who has just evolved into such a star for this team. Obviously shined earlier this calendar year at the World Baseball Classic, and that's translated through the regular season here, 58 games in, but an RBI single for him in the bottom of the seventh to get that run back, and then an RBI in the bottom of the eighth to give the Brewers their final run of the night, 8-3. But another really nice night at the plate for Bryce Tarang, who's had a really solid season for the crew.
No question. He's turned himself into a superstar. You know, you look at the World Baseball Classic, when the way he played and all the compliments that he had, and he did just a great job. But he's starting to come into his own. You see an air of confidence with him that, you know, he takes every at-bat and he doesn't give in to the at-bat. He plays just great defense and he's turning into a superstar. And he's one of the guys that when you talk about this Brewer Ball Club, you mention players that you have to be aware of. I'm going to tell you what, Bryce Terang is right at the top of the list.
Christian Yelich, 3-for-5 yesterday, 2-for-3 today. Talk about a guy who's really finding his groove. A big series thus far for Christian Yelich, who had that big two-run single in the bottom of the eighth to make it 6-3 right before that final Bryce RBI.
You know, there's a time in the game when you look, and when you hit it perfect, Alex, tonight. Bryce Terang is 5-for-8. He has 5 runs scored, 4 RBIs, and been on base 11 times in 2 games. You come into a game late in the ball game. If there's one game, there's that one special guy that you should not pitch to ever when you have an opportunity, when you have an open base. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be Christian Yelich. You can take Contreras, you can take Yelich, you can take Terang, you can take all the other guys, Cheerio and all these guys. But there's one guy that always steps up and he comes up with more big hits when we need him, and that's Christian Yelich. He's that key to this whole ball club. He's that leader. And tonight, what they decided to pitch him, I honestly got Alex, I couldn't believe they actually pitched him with a base open because he was swinging. He had 4 hits coming into that,
right?
And on base like 9 times. So you look at something like that. I think there's times when you kind of make mistakes in the game. I thought that was a key piece of the game because the Giants were only down by 1 run with the top of the order up coming up in the ninth inning. Christian Yelich coming through in that bottom of the eighth inning with that big base, 2-out base hit was really special, and he does it time and time again.
A lot could be said, Jerry, about the Brewers and maybe the necessity to acquire a big bat come the trade deadline if they really, really want to compete in the season. They're last in the league. They rank 30th in home runs hit. But they, again tonight, 5 guys had 2 hits tonight. 5 of their 9 had 2 hits. Last night, they scored 16 runs. I mean, they just find ways. Obviously, they're so disciplined the way they run the base pads. And, you know, there's the bunting. And they just find ways to get on base and score runs. But I've been really impressed with the last month plus the way they've been able to get runs up on the board, even if it's not always via the home run ball like it was in the bottom of the first for Jake Bowers tonight. You could say all you want, and maybe it is true. Maybe I agree with you, in fact, that, yes, come the trade deadline, maybe they should go try to acquire a really big bat. But they have offensively been very impressive despite the lack of home runs over the course of the last month plus especially.
Yeah, you look what this team has done, Alex, in the last 2 years, something so special tonight. 8 runs with 2 outs, scoring with 2 outs, putting the ball in play. You score runs, you make the opponents make mistakes when you put the ball in play. And I think that's something that this club has done very well. Yes, you look at what the Giants did in 2 games, they have 18 walks. And out of the walks, 7 walks tonight, 4 of them score. Well, the reason they score is you put them on base. And what the Brewers do, they put the ball in play and special things happen. So, you know, yes, you like I have a couple boppers that hit some more home runs. There's no question about it. But the way this team plays and the way they score runs, no matter whether it's with 1 out or with 2 outs, they do something very special. And they're very, very fun to watch because they're going to give you good at-bats. And then when they get deep in the ball game, the game is never over. They can score at any time. And it was proven tonight in the eighth inning when they scored the crooked number of 4 runs.
Wrapping up our conversation with the great Jerry Augustine here on Brewers Extra Innings. Alex Strofin for Dom Catronio on your home for the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. So Pat Murphy being very tight to the vest when it comes to who's pitching both tomorrow and Thursday against the Giants at American Family Field. He cited a transaction coming tomorrow as the reason why he can't tell us who's pitching either Wednesday or Thursday. So Jerry, the big question everybody listening to Brewers Extra Innings wants to know right now is, are you pitching tomorrow?
Well, I don't know if I could get the ball over to play for more than 2 innings, but no. But you know, what they do is it's called opportunity, and I think this organization is an organization that says if they got someone down in that minor league area that's throwing the ball very well, we want to get an opportunity and see what he can do. So I think when you look at it, it might be someone that we haven't seen before, or it might be someone that's right on the ball club right now and step in, but it's going to be interesting. They they make these moves and they give kids opportunity. And the only way you can improve your organization is by giving kids opportunity. And that's what this organization does.
I'd like to point out that he did not say yes or no for the audience. Jerry did not say yes or no. Would he be the pitcher tomorrow? Yeah, one would have to assume maybe Robert Gasser is the move. Coleman Crowe is still on the active roster, so maybe he goes, or maybe they go with an opener tomorrow and they pull up Gasser for Thursday. That would be my assumption, but then again, my guess is as good as everybody's because Pat Murphy being very hush-hush about what is to come the rest of this series. Two games left against the San Francisco Giants. Jerry, I get smarter every time I talk to you. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Alex, it's great being with you. This is a great game. Brewers played really well tonight, and I learned as much from you as you do from me. So Brewers won two in a row. Let's make it number three tomorrow.
I'm right there with you. Now, again, Jerry lied to me twice. He said he's not pitching tomorrow, and then he said he learned as much from me as I learned from him, both of which we don't know if those are true. Jerry Augustine, as always, with us here on Brewers Extra Innings. He is absolutely awesome. And who better to talk to, seriously, after just another phenomenal performance on the mound for Kyle Harrison, the businessman. 12 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings tonight. Ended his scoreless inning streak at 23 2/3 with that home run given up to Willy Adames in the top of the sixth inning. Talk about guys playing well against their former team, right? Kyle Harrison started his career with the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, Willy Adames knows this ballpark and this team so well, and he's had a really nice two-game series despite his team losing both games against his former team in the Brewers. We'll get to the highlights. We will hear from one of the heroes of the game, Jake Bowers, coming up next. Plenty ahead as we roll with you. Alex Strofin for Dom Catroni tonight. It's Brewers Extra Innings right here on 620 WTMJ. Yeah, happy night. The Brewers win again 8-3 over the San Francisco Giants, now 37-21 on the season. And by the way, Cardinals and Cubs both lose tonight. The Pirates get a victory, so they are solo in second place of the NL Central, but now 6.5 games back for the Cardinals and the Cubs after they each lose tonight. Alex Stroff with you in for Don Petronio tonight here on Brewers Extra Innings. Good to be with you. Jake Bowers hit his 10th home run of the season in the bottom of the first inning to give the Brewers a very early 3-0 cushion after Kyle Harrison just started a terrific performance, but it was his, Bowers' 10th home run of the season, the first Brewer to reach double digits. I'll just say it. He's on pace for 30. I don't know that any of us saw that coming if I would ask you in late March. You think Jake Bowers is going to hit like 30 home runs this year? He's well on pace. He's been such a bright spot for this team. He joined Josh Maurer on the postgame show on the Brewers Radio Network. Here's Jake Bowers with Josh Maurer.
We've got Jake Bowers on with us down by the clubhouse. He is kind enough to stick around to chat with us about it. Jake, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
I want to ask you about your homer, but I was just talking as you put the headset on, I know, about Kyle Harrison. And yeah. I got to ask you, what's it like when you're watching Kyle on the mound right now? Is he making your jaw drop as much as he's making ours?
I don't know about jaw drop, but it's pretty special what he's doing right now. He makes it easy to play defense behind them, works quick, which keeps everyone on their toes. And then, I mean, he's working so quick, and I say it's easy to play defense, and then he punches out whatever it was, 13. So not much defense being played behind him. But, no, what he's doing is special right now. And, you know, anytime someone gets on first base, the first thing they say is this guy's nasty. So that's, to me, one of the biggest compliments you can give someone, especially as a position player fighting against a pitcher. You don't just throw that around like nothing, you know.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the strikeout totals have been so high. The velocity, it's not Jacob Mizorowski, 102, 103 miles an hour, but he'll get it up there, 96, 97. When you look at him and you look at that fastball, can you put your finger on what it is, do you think, Jake, that's making it so difficult for opponents against Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a low slot, upshoot, four-seam with a little bit of angle into those righties. I mean, they stack the lineups with righties against them. And it seems like he blows fastballs by him pretty consistently. So, you know, can't say enough good things about what he's been doing for us.
Brewers win it by a final of 8-3 as we visit with Jake Bowers. You set the tone again tonight with that 3-run home run in the first. You had 2 on and 2 out against Trevor McDonald, who you'd never faced before.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the swing that ended up getting the ball off the center field batter's eye.
No, I mean, it was a pretty good sinker with a changeup off of it. Trying to get him a little bit closer to me and stay through the middle of the field. And executed on that one. I'm going to go to sleep thinking about the four others tonight, though. I feel like I had some more opportunities to come through and didn't. So, no, but it's just all about execution, and, you know, I was able to execute right there.
This is a trend, Jake, scoring early in bunches. You had a 7-run second inning yesterday, 3 runs in the first today, and then those aren't the only two examples of it in recent weeks where you've put up a crooked number early in the game. Can you kind of put your finger on what it is early, seeing these starting pitchers and having success, maybe even just the first time through against them?
Man, I think it starts with our hitters meetings right now. You know, our staff does a great job of putting together a game plan for us, and then you know, after that, it's on us to buy in and then execute, make those guys work out there, keep them uncomfortable for as long as possible, and I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now.
What are the vibes in the clubhouse when you win 19 of 24 games? That's an incredible, almost month-long stretch now. What's it like, though, when you guys come to work every day?
I mean, it's nothing crazy. You're gonna see 26 guys with their heads down getting their work in, getting prepared for a game that night. I mean, sure, there's smiles and good times along the way, but, you know, I think the group is pretty focused right now, so it's fun to be a part of that.
That Jake Bowers with Josh Maurer on the Brewers Network post game. Yeah, it's nothing crazy. We've won 19 of 24. No big deal, Josh. What do you mean? God, what do you mean, what are the vibes of the clubhouse? It's nothing crazy. Just, you know, just on the best month-long streak in Major League Baseball. We've just got two of the best emerging talents starting 2 out of every 5 games for us on the mound. Yeah, but nothing crazy. Just business as usual. What do you mean? What do you mean? What are the vibes in the clubhouse? That's Jake Bowers after he hit his 10th home run of the season in the bottom of the first inning tonight in the Brewers 8-3 victory over the San Francisco Giants. We just heard from Jake Bowers, but no disrespect to Jake Bowers and his awesome home run and his 10th home run of the season, first Brewer to reach double digits. He is not my player of the game tonight. Of course, it's the businessman, Kyle Harrison, now 7-1 on the season, 5 2/3 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts and 106 pitches, allowed 4 hits and just 1 run, which was that Willie Adames home run in the top of the 6th inning. Tonight's Player of the Game brought to you by the International Autos Group, and just like our MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMMilwaukee.com. That's IAMMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We will hear from the Skip, Pat Murphy, coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings. Oh, another day, another Brewers victory, 8-3 tonight over the San Francisco Giants. Zero rocking with us. It's Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Alex Strofin for Dom Catronio tonight with you. From the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee, just past 11 o'clock on this Tuesday night as the Brewers win game 2 in this 4-game series at American Family Field with the San Francisco Giants. Plenty of good to talk about. And the manager sure did that. Here's Pat Murphy after the win.
He was a little amped up, a little out of sorts early. You could see he's a little bit moving maybe too fast, trying too hard, whatever. But yeah, he was really good.
Do you attribute that to seeing the old team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that always brings out emotion, and I think it can be very dangerous, and it doesn't always help. You know what I mean? And I thought it took him off. Off kilter a little bit. I talked to him after the first inning, and you know, hey man, this is about the Brewers. You know, this isn't about you and where you used to play. They gave you an opportunity, you know what? Like, and he didn't. He looked at me like I got it. You know, so I was creating something in my mind probably that he probably wasn't there, but I felt like he was a little amped up. It was awfully good, you know, awfully good.
We all knew he had this potential in San Francisco. What's allowed him to access this?
You act like you knew. You didn't know. You didn't think about him again until he started doing well. Now you're like, yeah, we knew he had it. Strike that for the record, your comment. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like to be like that and kind of a... I'm too old to be nice. You know what I mean? So what was your question again?
What has allowed him to access that potential this season?
No, I mean, he really gives a damn, you know what I mean? He cares, and he wants to be great, and he's worked through whatever he's had to work through, and I think that's a testament to him. You know, hopefully some of our guys in there as teammates and some of our coaches in there have helped him, you know, solidify that belief system, but hopefully he's starting to believe that, hey, I'm pretty good if I do X, Y, and Z, you know? Yeah.
Kirk Bowers keeps on finding big moments.
Yeah.
Just sort of just his general at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, his at-bats today weren't the best, you know what I mean? His first one was fantastic, you know? That's enough to call it a good day if you want to. And you know, he had another decent at bat there at some point. Took a walk or did something there that was okay. But, you know, I felt like, you know, you can't underestimate him, man. You can't underestimate him. He's capable against lefties or righties. Yeah, I thought Mitchell had a great game. You know, four quality at bats. You know, a lot of good things. Yelich, what can you say? It's clutch again, clutch again, clutch again. You know, Churio, Yelich, and Terang saved their best at-bats for the end. That's a sign of something special. They saved their best at-bats. You know, they weren't having the best of days necessarily. I mean, Yelich had three good at-bats going into the last one, but nobody else really had good at-bats going into the last one. I guess Terang had a good one before that, but they saved their best at-bats for the last one.
There's Pat Murphy after the 8-3 win for Milwaukee tonight at American Family Field, now 37-21 on the season. You heard him say it at the end there, and we're going to do a quick who's hot, who's cold. Talk about the at-bats for Christian Yelich, man. 3-for-5 yesterday. A couple of hits tonight, including that big 2-RBI single in the bottom of the eighth. He's getting that bat going. And obviously, talk about a veteran leader, a former MVP, a guy who, you know, hitting at the top of the lineup, he has been crucial to this team's success, especially the last couple of nights. So smoking hot is the former MVP, Christian Yelich. That, of course, brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. Get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider.com today. That's Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Today, families helping families since 1912. We will take a look at the 8-3 victory and all the highlights that come along with it. It was a fun one tonight at AmFam Field. We will dive into those coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings.
Ready for this? This
brought it back,
and this
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights,
and there's a lot of them to get to here on Brewers Extra Innings. Alex Stroh for Dom Catronio tonight. I mentioned he was the player of the game. He's been the best surprise of the season, and things got going early for the businessman, Kyle Harrison, repping the Brew on the mound tonight.
Harrison's 3-2 pitch, and he got him looking. Dropped a slurve in there for strike three. Good start for Harrison.
Keep track of how many times we hear the word slurve in the highlights tonight. Bottom first, the first Brewer to double-digit home runs. Jake Bowers gets the Brewers on the board.
2-2 pitch. And a fly ball to center, hit well. Cox is back at the track. Wall, bye-bye baseball. How about 10 for Jake Bowers? It's a three-run shot, and it's 3-0 Milwaukee.
How about it, Lane Grindle on the Brewers Radio Network? Let's go to the third inning as Kyle Harrison really started to settle in.
1-2 again. Swing and a miss. Oh, he went up the ladder and got a little extra giddy up. 97 on the radar gun. That was super impressive. Kyle Harrison strikes out Schmidt, Devers, and Arise in order in a 1-2-3 top of the third.
Yeah, 1-2-3 top of the third, but that was his seventh strikeout, and he had only faced 12 batters. Plenty more where that came from. Let's go to the fourth.
0-2. Can he strike out the side again? The pitch. Yes, he can, over the outside corner. 96-mile-an-hour fastball got Susak looking. One of the most dominant first four innings that you'll ever see completed by Harrison against his former team. He recorded 12 outs, and 10 of them were strikeouts. Unreal.
How about that statistic from Josh Maurer? That clinched Harrison's third game this season with 10-plus strikeouts. And I say 10-plus because that implies he had more than 10.
Trying to empty the tank here in this sixth inning. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Blew a fastball by him at 96 and ties his career high with 12 strikeouts here tonight for Kyle Harrison.
He would only tie the career high, would Harrison? 12 strikeouts. I say only, like 12 strikeouts is an easy thing to accomplish. Kyle Harrison, 12 strikeouts. That was in the sixth inning. This was also in the sixth inning. You just heard the guys talking about playing really well against your former team, which Kyle Harrison did in his first opportunity against the team that drafted him tonight. How about a guy that spent 4 years in Milwaukee? Willy Adames. Well, he's had a good series.
Two balls and two strikes on Adames. Harrison brings home the pitch and a fly ball to left. Hit pretty well. Churio's going back on it, and it is gone. Willy Adames hits a home run just on top of the yellow line out there in left and then hit the wall behind it. Willy stopped at second. He didn't see the umpire signaling for the home run. And, a tough way for Kyle Harrison to lose the shutout.
That's how you know you're a loved former Brewer when you hear so much applause in the background. That made a 3-0 game a 3-1 game, but didn't take long for Bryce Tarang to give the Brewers that run back.
2-1 pitch. Ground ball up the middle. In the right center field, a base hit. Round third comes Hamilton. He will score. First to third goes Yelich. And Bryce Tarang drives in a big one. Two out RBI single, and it's now 4-1 Brewers here in the seventh inning.
Back to a three-run lead as we enter the top of the eighth, but things got a little bit sticky all of the sudden for Milwaukee.
It's 2-1. Is a liner into right that's going to get down for a base hit for Eldridge. Trotting home and scoring is a rise. It's an RBI single for Eldridge, and it's a 4-2 ball game. How big was that run in the bottom of the seventh now for the Brewers?
Going to sound a whole lot bigger in a second, Lane Grindle. Jung-Hoo Lee in a pinch hit situation.
And the pitch to Lee is ground ball left side. That is going to sneak through and into left field. Around third is Eldridge. Here's the throw home. It's not going to be in time. And it's a 4-3 ball game.
This is where things really got fun. I got a lot of highlights to play for you yet. Christian Yelich with two on in the bottom of the eighth.
Next 2-2 pitch. And a ground ball right side that's going to get into right field for a base hit. Mitchell is in. Racing around third is Frelick. He will score. Yelich does it again in the clutch. A big two-run single. And it is 6-3 Milwaukee. Oh, the Giants worked so hard for those two runs in the top of the eighth inning. And the Brewers punch right back.
Good old-fashioned slobber knockers, Jim Ross used to say. In WWE programming. Hey, by the way, I didn't mention it. Sal Frelick's hit, that's how he got on base, in the bottom of the eighth inning, meant the Brewers have had at least one hit in every single inning this series. Bonkers stat. More where that came from in the bottom of the eighth. Here's Jackson Churio.
The 0-1. And this is a fly ball to center. It's hit well. Gilbert back at the track, at the wall. He leaps up. It's off the top of the wall and bounds back into play. Yelich around third. He will score. It's an RBI double for Jackson Churio, and it is 7-3 Milwaukee.
And then Bryce Tarang says, hey, how about one more for good measure?
The pitch, and a liner back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Churio around third. He's going to score. It's an RBI single for Tarang. It is 8-3 Milwaukee.
Floodgates were opened, a five-run cushion, and the Brewers were warming up Trevor Megill prior to that five-run cushion. So they said, Trevor, why don't you go close this puppy out?
Megill kicks and delivers and poked into left. Coming in is Churio. He's got it measured, makes the catch in fair territory, and the Brewers have taken the first two games of this series from San Francisco. The Brewers win it 8-3 tonight. They have won three in a row, and they'll go for a series win tomorrow night here against the Giants.
Woo-ee, that was a fun one. 8-3 Brewers win on a Tuesday night. 11:17 on this Tuesday night at the WTMJ Annex Wealth Management Studios. And I'm not tired yet. We've got one more segment before we wrap it up with you. As I'm Alex Struff in for Dom Catronio tonight. We're back with you to wrap it up after this. I have a few closing remarks after the businessman, Kyle Harrison, another epic performance on the mound, and head to game three of this four-game series between the Brewers and the Giants tomorrow. That is next as we wrap up Brewers Extra Innings. I always love filling in on this show when I get to talk about a victory. Makes the show a little bit more fun. 8-3 Brewers over the Giants tonight. Game two of a four-game series at American Family Field this week. I'm Alex Droffin for Dom Catronio. Don't worry. You're getting rid of me in a few minutes. Dom will be back with you tomorrow as he is on assignment tonight. Look, I think I'm like every Brewers fan, and I am a Brewers fan. I think I'm like every Brewers fan when I say I'm just in awe of the things we have witnessed the last couple of seasons. And this season, of course, is no different. Where, okay, yeah, you expect Jacob Mizorowski, of course, to take a step after last season, right? I mean, he was really good his first couple of starts, gets to go to the All-Star game, which is a really cool moment for such a young pitcher. And then he certainly went through his trials and tribulations and then was terrific for them in the postseason out of the bullpen. But I don't know that we expected him to be a Cy Young candidate and a guy who could very likely win NL Pitcher of the Month for the month of May, which has not officially been announced by the league yet. But he's well in the Cy Young talks, is Mizorowski. And, of course, he's going to be in the talks to be the NL starter in the All-Star game, which is totally deserved given the season he's had thus far. Obviously, was the first pitcher to reach 100 strikeouts and had just another terrific game on Sunday in Houston, in the closer in Houston. But it seems the Brewers have done this every year of the Matt Arnold era, or the Pat Murphy era especially, is somebody just comes out of nowhere. And Kyle Harrison has been that guy. He has been so smooth and steady and calm and collected and poised as anybody you can expect, especially a guy who's had, I don't want to say a disappointing start to his career, but certainly a rocky start to his career in San Francisco and then was traded last year. He was in Giants uniform a year ago. He was traded to Boston, then was traded again, obviously, in the Caleb Durbin and company trade back to Milwaukee. And he's been one of the best pitchers in all of the league. I mean, if you don't have what you're seeing with Christopher Sanchez and Jacob Mizorowski, there may be talks about Kyle Harrison being in the Cy Young conversation. So to have two 24-year-olds that are creating the nastiest simultaneous young starter breakout that we've ever seen as Brewers fans, and I emphasize the word young, because what you saw with obviously Burns and Woodruff, you know, a half decade ago was an unbelievable breakout of a 1-2 duo. But you've never seen this with two young guys that are this reliable and are both overwhelmingly deserving of being all-stars. So just Brewers fans, don't take for granted what we're witnessing right now, because this is some nasty stuff from Jacob Mizorowski, who obviously is doing things baseball fans have never seen, right? 50 plus 100 mile an hour pitches on various nights with starts. And then when it comes to Harrison, it's so cool, calm, steady, collected. And I talked at length at the beginning of the show with Jerry Augustine about that, because he's just, I call him the businessman because, well, number one, the Miz and the Biz is a cool duo nickname. But number two, he just seems like a guy that, like, okay, inning's over. I'm going to take my briefcase. I'm going to go back to the dugout. And I love that. I love that about him. It's just his poise. It's so solid. And another 10-plus strikeout game, 12 strikeouts for him tonight. That's his third of the season now at 7-1, his seventh win of the season. So my message to Brewers fans is just to enjoy the ride, man, because this team is as good as any in Major League Baseball, and their pitchers are even better than they were a year ago, at least at this point in the season. And obviously we will see what's to come. We don't know who's pitching for the Brewers tomorrow. It could be Coleman Crow. It could be Robert Gasser. It could be an opener situation. We will see what happens tomorrow for Milwaukee in game three of this four-game series against San Francisco. But I know Jacob Mizorowski, rightfully so, is going to get most of the headlines when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers pitchers, but they legitimately have two just unbelievably entertaining starters right now who are each only 24 years old. And that is special. That is special for a team that, for some reason, the national media continues to pick against them before the season starts, as the Brewers are certainly in a good position here at the beginning of June to win their fourth straight National League Central title. Always a joy filling in on Brewers Extra Innings here on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Big thanks to our producer tonight, Matt Yazel, for running the show. As always, a big thanks to Jerry Augustine and all of you that chimed in and contributed and hung around with us over the course of the last hour plus as we celebrate yet another Brewers victory. And I hope there's plenty, plenty more over the course of the next couple of weeks. Dominic Catronio will be back with you tomorrow after the game, game three of this four-game series between the Brewers and the Giants. That will do it for us tonight. Brewers win 8-3 over the Giants. It is Brewers Extra Innings.